Continue our time of worship this morning. We want to call our children forward, and we're going to take up our noisy offering today. How are you all doing this morning? Now, y'all know what to do, right? You go ahead and grab a bucket, and you go get you some money. Go get it and bring it back here, and we'll pour it in this bucket. All right. Everyone got one? All right. Anybody else? Have you gone up? There you go. There you go. Oh, boy. Oh, we got some back here. Don't forget this back corner back here. There you go. Go back there. Leave no pew unturned. Anyone else? That hadn't been gotten yet. Oh, boy. Joel, bud, be careful. Oh, boy. Got to be careful giving the preacher's kid money. They'll spill it all over the floor. All right. Y'all bring it back here and pour it in. All right. You can put it back in there. All right. Watch out. We got more people coming. Pour it in here. There you go. All right. Watch out. We got some other people. All right. All right, we got one more person behind you. Watch out. All right, Joel, come here. There you go. Take a... We'll get it. Joel, come over here. You've got plenty. You come pour that in here. There you go. All right. Good job, guys. Thank you very much. Now, again... Stop. Yeah, I wish you could get all the money you wanted to, but that's not how this works. All right. So we're continuing to collect this money to help pay off the Pops loan. I want to thank you all so much for your help. We're going to pray, and then you guys can go to Children's Church, all right? I'm going to lean over here and guard this while I pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and grace. We thank you for your many blessings, for all that you give to us, and for the opportunity we have to rejoice and celebrate your gifts to us. We thank you for these children, for the opportunity we have to learn from them, Lord, and the opportunity we have to teach them. We pray that this money would go to facilitate and continue to minister to your people here in Elkton through our Pops building. We thank you, we praise you, and we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you guys can go to Children's Church. Getting quite a collection up here of non-monetary items. Today was a vac token, I guess, for a vacuum. So thank you, appreciate that. I use that for my message received. Clean my car out. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 through 11. Deuteronomy 26, verses 1 through 11. It is the first Sunday in Lent. And as we are preparing and entering into this season, let us hear God's word from Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 through 11. Once you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you take possession of it and are settled there, take some of the early produce of the fertile ground that you have harvested from the land the Lord your God is giving you, and put it in a basket. Then go to the location the Lord your God selects for his name to reside. Go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, I am declaring right now before the Lord my God that I have indeed arrived in the land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. The priest will then take the basket from you and place it before the Lord your God's altar. Then you should solemnly state before the Lord your God, my father was a starving Aramean. He went down to Egypt, living as an immigrant there with few family members. But that is where he became a great nation, mighty and numerous. The Egyptians treated us terribly, oppressing us and forcing hard labor on us. So we cried out for help to the Lord, our God, our ancestors' God. The Lord heard our call. God saw our misery, our trouble, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, with awesome power and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land full of milk and honey. So now I am bringing the early produce of the fertile ground that you, the Lord, have given me. Set the produce before the Lord your God, bowing down before the Lord your God. Then celebrate all the good things the Lord your God has done for you and your family, each one of you along with the Levites and the immigrants who are among you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, for your love and your grace. We thank you for all that you do for us, for all the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. May we be mindful of those things. May you call us to remember those blessings. We thank you for the reading and the hearing of this, your word. We pray that you would give me your words to speak and not my own. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us in faith, call you a place upon us. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. The season of Lent is a time of reflection. It's a season of considering and truly reflecting on who we are and who God calls us to be. On Ash Wednesday, we were reminded that we have come from dust, and to dust we shall return. And we know that while our time here on earth is short, there are a great many things for us to ponder, a great many things for us to do. And so in this season of reflection, I pray and trust that we are reflecting on who God is in our midst. And in the midst of this reflection, it is also a time of celebration, a time of recognizing all that God has done. As we reflect on God's goodness in our midst, we cannot help but celebrate, because God has literally done everything for us. There is no one here today whom God has not literally done everything for. That is who God is. That is what he does. We're reminded in this passage that Israel will offer to God these things when they come into his land. Moses is preparing the Israelites who will enter the promised land without him. This is what it will look like when you enter this land. This is what it will look like when you first bring offerings to God. Here we are reminded that Israel will do this in the land that God gives them. The land God gives them. They will harvest the produce that God gives them. And they will offer it at the altar that God has given them. Moses is giving the Israelites instructions on how they are to reflect, how they are to celebrate God's goodness in their midst. Every aspect of their lives is a gift given to them by God. And if we are open and honest with ourselves this morning, we know that every aspect of our lives is a gift given to us by God. Do we know and believe this morning that all we have is a gift, and it has little to do with how hard we have worked or not worked? We're reminded that God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, on the righteous and the unrighteous. Hard work is important. It's a task we are called to, but how often have we undertaken work that's hard because we have failed to listen to God? How often have we undertaken work and we have made it more difficult than it needed to be? We as human beings have an uncanny knack of overcomplicating very simple things. we are very good at it. And if we follow the instructions that are given, life probably wouldn't be as hard as we tend to make it. Amen? When I was growing up, I can remember times my parents would maybe go on a trip and they'd leave my brother and I home alone. And what do you think they would give us? They would give us instructions, right? Here's dinner. Here's lunch. Here's how you do these things. Set the oven to this time or this way for this long. They would remind us that the various things we needed to do, like lock the door and make sure we're both in the house before I locked my brother out of the house. From time to time, we would go on trips, and we would have people to come and house sit for us, right? And my mom would leave this detailed instruction list on the things that needed to be checked on. Abby took Joel to Paducah yesterday, and she didn't write this list, but I think she was giving me the list of things I needed to do to make sure Nora stayed alive while Abby was gone. And success, right? Life is pretty easy when we follow the instructions that are left for us, right? Maybe you're familiar with that. Maybe you've had someone to leave you instructions on things. There's the opportunity, and usually every pastor that I've followed has given me not necessarily instructions, but here's some things to be aware of in your new appointment. Here's some things that is unique to this church, unique to this community, for you to be aware of and to be mindful of, so that I don't come in and make ignorant decisions right off the bat. Right? And these instructions are helpful. They help us to know kind of what we need to do and who we are called to be. And that's what Moses is doing for the people here. He's not going to go with them to the promised land. Joshua is going to be their leader. This generation, they were not alive or around when the Israelites fled Egypt. And so these instructions are important for them to follow. And so to make their work not as hard as it should be, he gives them these instructions. Hard work for us as Christians really should only be a value if it is a result of our faithfulness towards God. Now, I'm not saying we won't have hard work. I'm not saying that we shouldn't work hard and work diligently for things. But it's only in terms of our faithfulness to God that this work is truly the work we are called to undertake. And God makes their work very simple. He gives them the land. This is a very good land. This is a land where the Canaanites lived, where the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Amalekites, all the Ites lived here. Big family of Ites lived here. And they're given this land, and it is a great land, a land full of milk and honey. If this was the Marvel Universe, it would be Wakanda. Anyone familiar with that? No. Fair enough. I'm looking at another canon of comic books. This is a great land, and they have not done anything to earn it other than simply being God's. They will have something that is not theirs. When they enter this land, there will be houses. There will be cities already built. They are simply to go in and live there. They don't have to rebuild anything. They don't have to redo anything. They may have to add on. They may have to make some adjustments, but everything is already there. The cities, the towns, the villages, the buildings, the houses. The crops that they'll have the first time in there will likely have been planted by somebody else, and they'll simply harvest. The ground, the fertile land that they are given has been cultivated for years before they have gotten there, so they don't have to redo any of that. The temple, the tabernacle that they will have has already been built, and it has been built by them with the supplies and the materials that they took from Egypt when they left, as God's gift to them. Nothing they have is theirs. God is letting them use it. He's giving it to them as a possession. And theirs is the task of being faithful with it. And that is our task, to be faithful with the things that God has given to us. the sanctuary we find ourselves in this morning is not built by any of us, right? It was here long before many of us got it. We possess this place. We inhabit this place because of those that have gone before. God has given us this space that we might worship, that we might gather together. It's our task to uphold it. It's our task to look over it. But we know that it has been given to us by God. Nothing we have done has earned this. It has simply been a gift. The Pops building, the youth center, we did not build them. We renovated them, but the spaces were already there. And we've had the opportunity to go in like the Israelites came in and turn these into places used for God's purposes. They are gifts as well. During this season of Lent, we fast. We give something up, and we do so to remember that without God, we wouldn't have whatever it is we're fasting from. To be reminded that it has been given to us by God. I'm fasting from caffeine. That's why I'm so tired today. Primarily coffee and Coca-Cola are the things I'm fasting from. I have a Fresca every night, and Abby was like, does that have caffeine in it? I said, if it does, then I'm only fasting from Coke and coffee. So no worries there. So these are not necessities, right? Coffee and Coca-Cola, these are not necessities. And a lot of things we probably are fasting from are not necessities, right? But they're luxuries. And we remember that they are gifts to us. Even the luxuries are gifts to us. And so as we have given them up, as we have stepped away from them for a time, and when that craving comes, we remember to give God thanks. To celebrate the fact that God has given us not only the necessities we need, but the luxuries as well. Fasting helps us to be mindful of those who do not have what we have. Gives us the opportunity to walk a mile in the shoes of those who do not have these luxuries that we have. All of us here this morning have what we have because they have been given to us by God. I'm reminded every week when I come up here, the robe that I have was made for me by Reverend Donna Jones, who passed away last year. She knew when I was moving to Hopkinsville first that I would need a robe, because that's what we wear at Hopkinsville first. And so she made this for me. This is a gift given to me. I did nothing to earn it. All of the stoles that I have, I've only purchased one. All of the rest have been made or given to me. They are gifts given. And so when I put these vestments on, I am reminded of God's goodness, of the gifts that God gives. And all of us here this morning are reminded of those. Let us remember today. Let us remember these 40 days of Lent that our Father was a starving Aramean. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Let us remember that our ancestors were immigrants in the land of Egypt for a time. They wandered in the wilderness as a people without a home, and then they were given a home by God in the Promised Land, a home that they did not build, a land that was not their home. But it became their home. Let us remember that our brother, Jesus Christ himself, was sent to be our Savior, that we might be co-heirs with him of all the good things that God wants to give us. That the very salvation we have received, the very things that we have, the future that is before us is a gift given to us by God. And may this remembrance motivate us to bring our first fruits to God, remembering that they are not ours, but we are stewards of them. And in this way, we might produce celebration. We might be mindful of what God has done, and as such, we will not be able to help but celebrate to rejoice, to be glad that God has done all of these good things for us. We are a blessed people today. I hope that we will remember that and that we will know where that blessing comes from. It is not of our work. It is of God's grace. It is not anything that we can boast or brag about, save for the fact that we can boast and brag in God our Father, in Jesus Christ, His Son, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, who lives and moves and has His way within us each and every day. Let us pray together. Gracious God, You indeed rain upon us and pour out on us blessing after blessing. Forgive us again when we turn a blind eye to that. Forgive us again when we think that our success or the things that we have are a product only of what we have done or what we have accomplished. Remind us that it is only by Your grace that anything is done. May we remember all that You have done for our Aramean Father, for us, for this community. May we be bringers of peace and love and grace to those in our midst. And may we seek to serve You and give You thanks for all that You have done. And I ask all of these things in Christ's name.